Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Ayin Hey. And we are 5 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Ayin Dalet Omid Beis Omer Afun. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu B'nei Yisrael Hanasuna Matzara Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus Rafua Shalema for Ruchama Rivka Bas Rachel and Yehoina's son Eitan Ben Batsheva Bracha. So, believe it or not, today's daf is daf 175. It's the second to last daf of Maseches Bava Basra. It feels a lot like the previous daf in Maseches Bava Basra, another intense sugya that deals with laws related to Ashchiv Merah, Arev. We're going to see the Gemara is going to get involved in the sugya of Shibuda da Iraisa or Shibuda Lav da Iraisa. And then Be'ezus Hashem, when it comes to the raid, we're going to go back to the name Moshe Rabbeinu, part 2, sequel to what we spoke about the other day. Either way, 5 lines from the bottom of Daf Kufay and Dalet Amid Beis. Omer Rav Huna said, Shchiv Merah sheikdish kol nechasov, a Shchiv Merah that made all his nechasim hektish. Va'amar, and he said, Moin mana leploini biyadi. That you should know, although I was makdish all my nechasim, however, there's one mana amongst my nechasim that really doesn't belong to me. I owe it to somebody else. Now, when this person said mana leploini biyadi, he didn't say a toich kidei dibur from when he was makdish his nechasim. Sounds that way a little bit, just from the words of Rav Huna. Because had he done that, then we know toich kidei dibur is kidibur dami. A person can't say 9 things at the same time, and as a result, there's no question he'd be believed mana leploini biyadi. This person was makdish his nechasim, and then a week later he says, oh, by the way, you should know, even though I made this huge grant to hektish, but it's not as huge as you thought it was, because mana leploini biyadi. Says Rav Huna Neman, the halacha is this person is believed, and the reason is chazaka ein adam oisa knunya al hektish, because what's the other side? He's trying to defraud hektish. People don't do that, and as a result, he's going to have nemanis. In other words, really he shouldn't be believed. And the reason really he shouldn't be believed is because once you makdash your nechasim, at that point, amir legvaya is kimsir lahedye, it's not yours anymore. So you're not balabus now to say mono leploini biyadi. You could have said that before you were makdash, of course. But once you makdash it, you're a day late and a dollar short, right? But being that there's a chazaka, ein adam oisa knunya al hektish, that chazaka gives this person an amanus, even to come a while later, la'acha kedei dibur, even after hektish thinks it's theirs, to say mono leplein biyadi. Maskev Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman heard what Rav Huna said, and he asked the kash of chi, adam oisa knunya al bonov. He says, I want to ask you something. Your chiddish of shchiv merah sheiktish kol nechasav amam mono leplein biyadi neman is predicated on a chazaka. Ein adam oisa knunya al hektish. So in the world of chazakas, this is one of the lesser known chazakas. But the bottom line is, it's predicated on a chazaka. So Rav Nachman says, just like there's a chazaka in your world of ein adam oisa knunya al hektish, I'm confident you would agree that there's also a chazaka that ein adam oisa knunya al banav, right? Person doesn't want to come up with a scheme to defraud his children. Stating that, and the Rav Shmuel Damri Travayu, Rav and Shmuel both said, wasn't Rav Shmuel was chaylik, but Rav and Shmuel both said Shchiv Merah she amar mono leplein biyadi. A Shchiv Merah who said mono leplein biyadi. Those same words of the Shchiv Merah in Rav Huna's case. Amar tenu. If he follows it up and he says tenu, meaning mono leplein biyadi, and then he tells his children and give them on a noisin, they have to listen. Lo yamar tenu. If he doesn't follow up the word tenu, a noisin, they don't have to. Alma, what do you see from here? Although the Shchiv Merah said mono leplein biyadi, but if he didn't say tenu, we don't think that it's true. And there's a svara. The svara is adam asui shaloi laspi as banav. It could be really there's no mono leplein biyadi. He doesn't owe anybody anything, but he doesn't want people to think that now that he's dying, his children are going to become greiser gevirim because it may impact their way of life. And as a result, he came up with this way of hiding the fact that he was such a gvir by saying that, oh, all this money, naf chayvus, have mortgages, you have no idea what I'm dealing with over here. And as a result, you have nothing to you know, get involved in. But the bottom line is, you see that there's a svar of Adam Asu Shalayla Hasbiyah's bottom. So Hachanami Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, Adam Asu Shalayla Hasbiyah's Atzmoy, maybe when this person said, Mona Laplani Biyadi, the reason he said it was not because it was true, but the reason that he said it was is because he didn't want people to think that he's such a gvir that he gave this incredible grant to Hekdesh. Meaning, you see from Rav and Shmuel that if a Shechiv Merah says, Manu L'Ploini B'Yadi, Lav Dafka, it's true. Because there's a Svara, Adam Asu Shaloi L'Hasbiyah as Bonav. If that's the case, a Shechiv Merah that was Makdash as Nechasim and says, Manu L'Ploini B'Yadi, there too, maybe he shouldn't be believed based on the same svar of Adam Asui Shalei Lasbiya. Now here it's not Adam Asui Shalei Lasbiya as Bonav because his children are not getting it anyways. He was Makdash Olz Nechasim. So who's the one that he doesn't want to look good over here? Himself. Now, what do you mean? He gave it away. Yeah, that's good for what he doesn't want. He doesn't want people to realize that he gave all this money to Hekdesh. But the bottom line is, Rav Nachman told Rav Huna, I hear what you're saying, Chazaka ein adam oisa knunya al Hekdesh. But Rav and Shmuel, previous Amiram, unzere Rebbes, Rav Nachman tells Rav Huna, they already were machria. They already told us that there's a svar of adam oisa shloi lasbiya as banav, and if that's the case, I think it would apply to adam oisa shloi lasbiya as atzmai, and therefore, if he says, mona leplein biyadi, Neman, I'm not so sure he's Neman. I would say Fakir, he didn't mean it seriously. So the Gemara says, you're right. Rav and Shmuel taught us this halacha of Adam Asu Shalei Lasbiyas Banav, and if that's the case, we would apply it equally to Adam Asu Shalei Lasbiyas Atzmai. I, Rafuna's halacha, Kikam Rafuna. Rafuna was talking about Hasam in that case, the Nakid Shtara. With this other guy that the Shchimra said, Mana Laplane Biyadi, had a shtar that said that, yeah, this guy's a malva. He's holding on to a shtar that says that the Shchimra owes me money. Oh, he's holding on to a shtar, there it's different. Meaning, if there's a shtar, there is belief. But the Gemara says, Mechal, the Rav Shmuel, the Loyanok Shtar, is he telling me Rav and Shmuel's case, where Amar Tnu Nois, Loyam Tnu Ein Nois, and it's talking about where there was no shtar. Meaning, we have no idea, there's no malva out there. This ploini, almoini, in this sugya, is not holding on to a shtar. Is that the case? It can't be. Why? Because Amar Tnu Noisim, which part of it is Muchach, that Rav and Shmuel's case was also talking about a shtar? Because Rav and Shmuel said that in the event that the person said Tnu Noisim, so the halacha is the Yarshim, right? Assuming the Shchimra dies, has to now go and give the money. What's the kasha? Milva Al Pehava. If there's no shtar, then all this is a Milva Al Peh. The Rav and Shmuel, the Amri Travayu, and the same Rav and Shmuel both said Milva Al Peh in a grave, Lemina Yarsha, Lemina Lukuchas. We'll see this at the end of the day. But Rav and Shmuel both said that when it comes to a Milva Al Peh, if I'm a Malva and all I have is Aiden that the loan took place, but I don't physically have a shtar. So the halacha is that I can't be Goyver from Yarshin if the Lever dies, and I can't be Goyver from Lukuchas. But the bottom line is it's Muchach then from the fact that Rav and Shmuel said, Omar Tnu Noisim, that it's talking about that there was a shtar. So Rav and Shmuel's talking about what there's a shtar. So you can't tell me, oh, Rav Huna is where there was a shtar. Rav and Shmuel's also where there's a shtar. So again, Hadra Kushal Duchte, Rav Huna said, Shchimra Shikdish Kol Nechas Avam Amon El Poyd B'Yadi Neman Chazoka In Adam Oysa Knun Yal Hekdish Maskef La Rav Nachman. What happened to the Svar of Adam Asui Shaloi Laspia Is Atzmi Elam Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman said the Chiluk is like this. Again, it's not the same case. That's the only way out over here. What's the difference? Not one is talking about with a shtar, the other is talking about with a shtar, because they're both talking about a shtar. Idi v'idi de nakut shtar v'lei kasha hada mekuyim hada loy mekuyim. The case of the Shchimra Shikdish Kol Nechas and said Mano Plane B'Yadi is talking about with that plane he had a shtar, and not only did he have a shtar? He had a shtar mekuyim. It was a shtar with Edim, and he did kiyim shtaris already. And it's for that reason the halach is he's going to be believed. However, Rav and Shmuel's case was talking about where there was a shtar, but the shtar wasn't mekuyim. Okay, so how does it play out? Omar Tnu, if the Shchiv Merah said Tnu, kaimei l'shtari. So by him saying Tnu, what we assume is he's saying that shtar that guy has, you should know it's a legitimate shtar. Thus, the shtaris kim shtaris. Thus, the yarshin would now have to pay, because it's not a milva alpa, it's a milva b'shtar, with kim shtaris, boom, you're going to have to pay. Loya matnu, if he didn't say tnu, loy kaim el shtari, then it's not considered kim shtaris. Meaning, if he says tnu, that's checkmate, he's saying that this shtar is a legitimate shtar. So, the malva can be goiva, he doesn't even need kim shtaris. Ad kedei kach. If he doesn't say tnu, then what we assume is that maybe the person doesn't really agree to the shtar. And the only reason he's playing along with this malva is because Adam Asu Shalei LaHasbiyah as Bono. Now, the guy has a shtar, and at the end of the day, if he's Mekayim the shtar, he'll be able to be Goyva. Rav and Shmuel are not saying Fakert. All Rav and Shmuel mean when they say, Loya Martinu Ein Noisnin is, go be Mekayim the shtar, as opposed to my words, my bitui of Mono Laplani Biyadi in and of itself constituting Kiyim shtars. And that's what they're saying. Tnu, there's no svaris anymore of other masa shleil has bias banav. You acknowledge the loan. That is kiyim shtaris. The guy has a shtar. He could be goiva. He doesn't even need kiyim shtaris anymore because you were just mekayim before. If he doesn't say tnu, then what we teach your mono lepani biyadi as being other masa shleil has bias banav. Meaning, we thought the case was where a guy just woke up and he said mono lepani biyadi. We verified that wasn't the case. It can't be. Rabbi Shmuel Shita say it's not going to work. So it has to be the case where there's a shtar. And afilu hachi, the guy's being murdered to the shtar, it doesn't mean anything. If he doesn't say tnu, yeah, you know what, zolzayin. He didn't come up with this patent one morning and say, you know what, maybe I'll say mono l'plein biyadi. It's like these people won't think that my kids are falling into a Yerusha now. But once the guy came with a loan, he said, yeah, you know what, it's true, mono l'plein biyadi. But we go into the psychology of the person and we say that Agand is a malva with a shtar, he still didn't mean it, because other masa shleil has bias banav. But either way, that's what Rav and Shmuel were talking about. That's where this is in the game. But in the case of Rav Huna, the reason there's no svar of other masa shleil has bias banav, because there was a shtar with kiyim. So if there's a shtar with kiyim, so what are you going to do? The guy has a shtar, this kiyim shtar, so obviously he's going to be able to be goy, and it's for that reason he's going to be now. Now there is one big kasha on this gemara. We're just going to mention the kasha and go weiter. But you can't go weiter without speaking out this toisvis. It's the second toisvis on Kufa Ayin Hey, Amar Aleph, Dibra Maskel, Hadam Akoy. If the case of Rav Huna is where there's a malva out there, and the malva has a shtar, and the shtar has kiyim, so what do you mean, Nemon? Chazaka in Adam Isa Knunya al Hekta. She's Nemon because he has a shtar with kiyim shtar. So of course he's Nemon. Meaning, if the case of Rav Huna is Nakin Shtara and Hadam Mekoyim, so it's his. Neman ahi, neman aher. He doesn't have to be neman. The guy has a shtar. And of course he's going to be able to collect whatever he wants to collect. So Taisa says that this is Negeya already. Sugyas and Bavis and Mesechtes Shvuas that talk about that. Even if someone has a shtar, sometimes if you're being goyva from Yarshim, you have to swear. So there's a whole bunch of dinim that maybe would play itself out. I ain't shum, but either way, that is the obvious kasha that emerges from the dafyoimi version of today's daf. Either way, zok gemara vayta amar rabba me inyan le inyan ba'usin shchimra she amar a shchimra that said mono l'plein biyadi. These words, these fatal words, mono l'plein biyadi va'amru yisaimim, and then the yisaimim after the man died said parano, we paid it. Now monim that believed. So shchimra said mono l'plein biyadi. The yisaimim said we paid. They have an amonis. In the Shchimra would say Tnu Mono Laplani, not just Mono Laplani Biyadi, but the stronger Lakshan. Tnu, actually, Mono Laplani Biyadi, and now give it the Amri Yisraim and Parano, and they would say they paid, ain't a monim, they wouldn't be believed. That's what Rabbi said. So again, Mono Laplani Biyadi, the Yisraimim are believed to say Parano. If the father comes starker and he says Tnu Mono Laplani, and they say we paid, then they're not believed. So the Gemara says, Klapi Laya, Ibrahim Estab, it should be just the opposite. Why? Amar Tnu Mono. If the father says Tnu Mono, even the Pascha Avuya in the Milsa, being that the father is not just saying Mono Laplani Biyadi, there's no Svaris here of other Masui, Shalayla Hasbiya, he's saying it with super confidence. Ikulam of the Pari, it's more Mestaba that they say, okay, the Tata means business, and let's go and pay it. Of a Mono Laplani Biyadi, but if all the father said was Mono Laplani Biyadi, even the late pasuk avuin lamilsa, being that the father never said the word tenu, and you see from the previous sugya, maybe it doesn't even mean it. Maybe it's not true. It could maybe the pirate. It's more mistabed that he didn't pay. So it's actually more mistabed they paid if the father said tenu and they didn't say tenu. So the Gemara says you're right. We must have an incorrect version of what Rabbi said. If Rabbi said something regarding this halacha, this is what he said. It's interesting, right? The Gemara says this sometimes. Does that mean the Gemara is questioning if anything was even said? Right. Meaning, maybe nothing was said. Maybe this is all one big greis. But regardless, this is the correct version of Rabbi Shchimra, she'amar mono l'plein biyadi, a Shchimra that said, mono l'plein biyadi, va'amru yisoymim, and then the yisoymim said, that chazar va'amar lanu abba paraiti. So again, the Shchimra said, mono l'plein biyadi. Not the yisoymim said, we paid, but the yisoymim said that our father, after he said mono l'plein biyadi, said paraiti. Nemonim, the children are going to be believed. Not the children are believed to say paranu, but the children are believed to say that Abba said paraiti. My time, what's the reason? Itkuri mitkar. Because it could be when he said mono l'plein biyadi, etzich dermant, that, you know what? Really, he had paid, and as a result, you're going to be believed to say that the father said he paid it. If, however, the father said, Tnuman Oloplaini, the father on his deathbed said, Tnuman Oloplaini, V'amru Yisayimim, and then the Yisayimim said, Chaza V'amar Abba Paraiti, that after the Tata said, Tnuman Oloplaini, the Tata says, no, you know something, I pay. Ein Amonim did not believe, because the Im Isa the Pare, Lehava Amar Tnu, because had the father paid, he would have never made the mistake. Tnu. Meaning, the point over here is, the Yisayimim are saying, yeah, that the Tata said, Tnuman Oloplaini Biyadi, he said, Tnuman Oloplaini, but after the Tata said it, Etzach Gechab, then he says, no, I already paid. So if what the father had said was mana laplaini biyadi, it could be. He thought, and then he remembered. But if he says tnu mana laplaini, you don't say tnu mana laplaini until you cross your T's and you dot your I's. Until you do a very, very thorough due diligence to make sure that you owe the money. Because otherwise, you're not just going to vavsich with the gal. So if all he said was mana laplaini biyadi, he put it out there, and you know something, never mind. And the kids are believed to say that the father said that. If the father said tnu mana laplaini, there's no way this is what happened. Zok the Gemara. Rava had anybody. Shchivmera shahoida mal. A shchivmera that's moida. So this is a shchivmera that's moida in the sense of hoidas baldin kemei eidem dami. So we know this is one of the tenets that underpinned the bavas. Hoidas baldin kemei eidem dami. So what happens if a shchivmera was moida? What's the halacha? What's the shayla? So the Gemara explains. Sarach loimer atem eidai. Oy ain't sarach loimer atem eidai. One of the big rules in Hoidas Badin Kamei Eidim Dami, this underpins all the halachas in Shulchan Aruch related to Hoidas Badin. Right, the lumdus of Hoidas Badin we know, that's the Ktzai Islam, Medalad, Dalad, Vechule. But as it relates to the basic halachas, is you have to make sure that when this person was Maida, he wasn't stop messing with the person that he was Maida to, right? In the words of Chazal, Meshata Nipach. Sometimes people would say things just to chapa with other people, but they didn't really mean it. Hoidas Badin Kamei Eidim Dami has like a built-in mechanism of Meshat Anibach, right? It screams Meshat Anibach, because why would you go over to somebody and tell him you owe money? It's counterintuitive to everything that we learn about, right? Everyone's saying, Lahadam, I don't know what you're talking about, Shalav Voisai, right? The bottom line is that there is a real legitimate Svara of Meshat Anibach. It's for that reason, Chazal said, that the only time Hoidas Badin Kamei Eidim Dami is true is if it's in front of Eidim. And not just that, when you were Moida and said to the Eidim, Atem Eida. Here's the question. A Shchiv Merat, that's Hoidas Badin, in front of Eidim. Does he have to say Atem Eida or not? What's the Tzad not? Because what's this person doing if he's not actually confessing that he owes somebody money? He's being Meshat Anibach. People are not Meshat Anibachs on their deathbed. And that is the crux of the Shaila. Is there a tzad that maybe this person is kibitzing a little bit, just one last joke before he is Yotzen Ashmasib Litzonis? Or do we assume that, no, if this person is lying on his deathbed, he's probably telling the truth? So this is the crux of the Shaila. Does he have to say Atem Eidai or does he not have to say Atem Eidai? Another Shaila. Tzarech Shiyoy Maksuvu or Ein Tzarech Lei Maksuvu. Even a person that's moed in front of Eidim and he says Atem Eidai, the only time the Eidim have a right to shribe it in a brief, right, to put it on a document, is if he would say Ksuvu. Does a Shchimra have to say Ksuvu? Or do we assume that the person would want it written? What's the Shaila? Adam Shata B'Shat Smiso, I ain't Adam Shata B'Shat Smiso. So the Gemara says, Basad Boy Hada Pashto. After Rav asked this question, he was poshed. Thankfully, he said, ain't Adam Shata B'Shat Smiso. Could be people are chaylik, but this is Rav Ashita anyways. Ain't Adam Shata B'Shat Smiso. And he said, as it relates to the second question of Ksuvu V'Divrei Shchivmera, now, this is a little bit of a play on words, says Tosfos Dibra Maschol V'Divrei Shchivmera K'chsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami. So this is the second to last Tosfos on the Yomit. The first Tosfos we spoke out was the second. This is the second from the bottom, where Tosfos says that, again, what was the second Shaila? Does the Shchivmera have to say write it, or could we write it on our own? And for the Gemara, that he doesn't have to say write it. You know why? Because Divrei Shchivmera is K'chsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami. Now, what does that mean, Divrei Shchivmera K'chsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami? That a Shchivmera doesn't have to make a kinyan. Shchivmera's words are the equivalent of K'sivas Hashtar, Mesira, right? It constitutes kinyan. Just like Amira L'Gvoya is K'mesira L'Hadid, Divrei Shchivmera is also K'chsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami. That's not our sugi over here. We're not debating whether or not Shchivmera has to make a kinyan. We know this already, hopefully. That a Shchivmera, we don't Yeshnoichlan Amishameis, not long ago. So, right? We know a Shchimera doesn't have to make a kinyan. The Shaila was something else. Does the Shchimera have to say Ksuvu or not? So the Gemara is just bargaining the expression that Divrei Shchimera is Kichsuvu Chimsurim Dami, pun intended, that He would not have to say, right? If you look at the words of Tosfos, "Hay kichsuvim lo yhavi kichsuvim deleil beperek mishamei." So it's not the same kichsuvim; it's just a little bit of a play on words. Either way, it's up to Mishnah. And this Mishnah right here is the very last Mishnah of Masechtas Bava Basra. Malvus chaver b'shtar ends with a knack. If someone loans money to his friend with a shtar, so it's a milva b'shtar. Goyvim nechasim mishubat. The halacha is the malva has a right to collect not only from the loiva, but from any nechasim that the loiva had at the time of the loan, even if he subsequently sold it or gifted it or bequeathed it to somebody else. Al yidei edim, if this halva was done al yidei edim, but not documented in a shtar, goyvim nechasim nechayim. Then he can only be goyva from nechasim nechayim, which means any nechasim that the loiva has physically in his rishus at the time that you come to collect the loan. Hoytzi yadu ksav yadei shuchayv loy. What if the malva has a shtar where the loiva wrote in the shtar to the malva that I owe you money? That's very powerful. No question in the world. Stating that, goyvim nechasim nechayim. It still doesn't allow the malva to collect from nechasim mishabadim. And the reason is because the aside of why a milva b'shnar, you can be goyva from the chasam mishubadim, and a milva al pay, you can't. We'll see it better in the Gemara. It's related not so much to the document. The paper is a chaspe ba'alma. That's not what makes this happen. It's the fact that when something's documented, it has a coil. So those lakuchas that you're going to be taking now from you as the malva, when they bought the assets from the loiva, they knew that there was a risk factor. They knew that at some point it could be it's going to come back to haunt them. Why? Because they knew that their moicher was a loiva. How did they know it? Because it was documented in a shtar. Okay, and shtar is like kol. So the point is, the only time a shtar has a koil is if there are edim gechasment on the shtar. But if the shtar does not have edim signed on it, even if it's ksav yodai, which you might argue is better, right? Haidah spadin, we just said, is kimei edim dami. We know haidah spadin is yaisim imei edim dami. Yais doesn't know the makar to it, kiyodua, at the end of lama dalad dalad. But the bottom line is, it's a fact. So for sure, it's very, very good. That's not the nakuda. The nakuda is when there's edim, when there's a whole matziv, right? People get together and they're signing. You sign here, you sign here. So that's what creates the coil. But if a loiva sits down and he writes the ksav yodai over there, there's no coil. And a chaps and afkamina as it relates to being goyver from the chasam mishubadim or being goyver from the chasam mechayim. So again, what's the halach of Mishnah? I mean, this is the most basic halach in the Bavis. And that is a milva b'shtar, you can be goyver from the chasam mishubadim. Milva pe, you can only be goyver from the chasam mechayim. Hoyt yalav ksav yodai shuchayiv loy, even though it's very good and it's even in a shtar, still you can only be goyver from the chasam mechayim. Another halach. Orev hayoytse la'achar Chitum Shtaris. So there was an Arev who signed on a document. However, the Arev's signature was beneath where the Edom sign. So usually the Edom sign on the Intishtashir, right? But they sign, or he, in the singular, Arev sign beneath the Chitum Shtaris. So the halacha is, Goiva Minechasen Bnei Chayim. If the Malva now has to collect from the Arev, he could only collect from the Arev's Bnei Chayrim, but he can't collect from the Arev's Mishubadim. And the reason is because being that he's beneath the Edom, so his signature is not part of the coil of the Shtar, and therefore it's like a regular Milval Peh, meaning we view him on some level as a life, but Milval Peh, like the Mishnah says, he can only be Geiver from the Nechasim Bnei Chayrim. Maisa, there was a story, Bolofnei Rabbi Yishmael. There was a story like this that was presented to Rabbi Yishmael v'Omar, and Rabbi Yishmael said, Geiver min Nechasim Bnei Chayrim, exactly what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara says, when this Shaila was brought to Rabbi Yishmael, there was a Yid there, a Tana, whose name was Benanis, also known as Shimon Benanis. Amalei Benanis, Benanis told him, Ine Geiver loy min Nechasim Mishavadim v'loy min Nechasim Bnei Chayrim. He says, Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel, I don't agree with your psak. I think that an Aruf that's signed underneath the Chitim Shtaris, he's not obligated at all. And I don't think the Malva could collect from him, not from his Nechasim Mishubadim, and not from his Nechasim Bnei Chayim. Amalei Lama, so Rabbi Shmuel said, why? Amalei Benana said, I'll explain to you with a mashal. Imagine somebody's walking in the street and all of a sudden he sees his friends being choked by somebody else. And the reason he's choking him, this is old school, because it seems that the choki owes the choker money. But Amalei, so the chaver told him, Hanachloi, you know, leave him, Vani Eten Lecha, I'll pay. Let this guy breathe. I have this. Potter, right? We all agree that he wasn't the Kabbal Arvas. Why? Shaloi alemunose hilveo. And Benana said along this. It's because the Iker loan, whenever this happened, was not done on the smach that the Orev was going to pay it. Right now, he came to save the day because he sees that his friend is getting Mises Chenek. But really, really, the original loan had nothing to do with him. And as a result, he has no wristband. stability. Elo ezehu ariv shu chayiv. When is an ariv yachayiv? It's hilveyu. If the ariv says, "Lend him money," vani noisin l'chan, I'm going to give you chayiv. Why? Shekein alamu nasei hilveyu. Because the ikra. We went through the Gemara the other day. When you're an Arev, when you're an Arev Kavlan, but Hatzad Hashav of all those cases is where the loan is being done per the Arev. If that's the case, if you have an Arev, he's coming after the party. If that's the case, it's not his chayvis at all. We look at mamish like that person, says the Gemara. So Rabbi Shmuel heard what Benana said, and Rabbi Shmuel commented, this is the last comment of all the Mishnayos, making a big deal about this, because Bava Basra is the longest Masechet in Shas, but also Kulan Azikin Chad Masechet is. So this is a very, very, very long Masechet. So Rabbi Shmuel said, if somebody wants to be wise, Yasik B'dinei Mamanis, he should learn Dinei Mamanis, because there's no Miktsaya in the Torah, the Bach adds the word, Godol Mehen. There's no miktsaya, right? There's no subject matter in the entire Torah of us is grassif and dinei mamines. They ain't kimayin hanoveya, and they're like a wellspring. So mayin hanoveya is, you see sometimes in front of fancy buildings, like this well with this water coming out of it, this big inyan. So that's what a mayin hanoveya is. That's what dinei mamines is. And then he went weiter. See, he said, if you want to be a chacham, learn dinei mamines. Varoitza sheyasik b'dinei mamines. And if somebody wants to be oisik b'dinei mamines, yeshamesh hashimim bananes, he should learn by the great Benanis by Shimon Benanis. Zok the Gemara. We're going to jump right in. Amar Ula. Ula said, Tvar Torah Midday Raisa. Echa Milva B'Shtar V'Echa Milva L'Apeh. Goyve B'Nechasa Mishubadim. In other words, the Mishnah said, Milva B'Shtar, you can be goyve from Nechasa Mishubadim. Milva B'Alpeh, you can't be goyve only from the Nechasa B'Nei Chayim. So said Ula, that's all Midday Rabban. Because Midday Raisa, it doesn't matter if it's a Milva B'Shtar or if it's a Milva Alpeh. Either way, you could be goyva from the nechasim mishpat. My time, what's the reason? Because shibud day raisa. Because midday raisa, if somebody borrows money from somebody, his nechasim are mishubit to the loan. So let's hit the pause button for a second. The Gemara now is going to present us a big chakira. Shibud day raisa, shibud day rabban. Meaning, if somebody borrows money from somebody, we know that the malva has a right to go to the loiva and say, give me money. And if the loiva doesn't pay, on some level, depending on what type of loan it was, he can actually foreclose on the person's assets. The reason is because we assume that the loiva's nechasim are meshubit to this loan, and that gives the malva the right to foreclose. The shaila that the Amiram debated, we'll see, the biggest names in Shas debated the shaila. Shibud is the raisa, shibud is the rabbanon. This idea that you can foreclose, is that something that the rabbanon put in place the Torah's Hamalva, or is that something that the Torah already put in place? Because when you borrow money, included in that is that you're Nechasim on Meshubit. What's the Shaila? The Shaila is, when a person borrows, does that biblically create a lien on the person's assets or not? Now, there's a big Machlokes Rishonim, which we're not going to talk about now, but this is real Shas Rei, whether if you hold Shibud Dei Raisa, it means only the character of the life, or it means even the Metalton of the life. We're not getting into that. We're just going to learn it on a dafyomi level, and that is the Amiram with Mesupik, whether this Shibud, which we know exists, some of the hardest sugis in Shas deal with Shibud. It's a chiluk of Kenyan, right? There's a whole bunch of different nuances to it. But that whole institution, the whole Bria of Shibud, is that a din Torah or is that not a din Torah? So Ula said it's a din Torah. In fact, Echon Milvah B'Shtar, V'Echon Milvah Alpeh, right? The Torah doesn't discriminate between a Shtar and Balpeh. If a person borrows money, there's going to be a regular shibud. Velamata, Mamrusa said, Ulo, why then is it that Chazal said, Milva alpe in a goyve element nechasim nechayim? Meaning, to the extent that the loiva's nechasim, when he borrowed money, were meshubit to the malva, so now he went ahead and sold it. Of course, the malva should be able to go to the lekuchas and take it away from them. Aye, it's in someone else's rishos. Who cares? The nechasim are meshubit. I have a lien on it. So if I have a lien and you're holding something that I have a lien on, of course, I have a right to take it. The reason is, Mishum said to the lekuchas, because Chazal thought that this would take down the entire economy. It'd be a problem. Nobody would want to buy anything. Like, what are you going to do? I'm going to buy something. I'm going to find out there was a lien and it's going to be taken away from me. So the Gemara says, if you're worried about Seyda de Lekuche, so why are you only worried about Milva Balpeh? You shouldn't be worried about a Milva Bishtar as well. The Gemara says, no, Hasam Inu Ninu Daf Sidu Anafshayu, because that already has a coil, like we mentioned in the Mishnah. And therefore, the Lekuches would have, should have known about it. And it's for that reason. If you bought it anyways, inu ninu tafsidu anafshayu. Meaning, if you're buying something that you know is encumbered already, so hire a lawyer and figure out a way to make sure that either you're reimbursed if it's ever taken away or don't buy it. But the bottom line is that Ula holds that midday raisa Echa milva b'shtar ve'echa milva al-peh goyve menachasim b'shabbatim. And it's based on the underlying principle of shibuda deiraisa. The reason by a milva b'al-peh, the halach is you can't be goyver for nechasim mishubadim is simply because of pseidah l'kuchas. And why don't you have pseidah l'kuchas by a milva b'shtar? It's because hasam inu ninu tafsidu anafshay. Rabba amar Rabba uschay l'kudula. He said, "Var toyer midai raisa echem milva b'shtar echem milva al peh ain't a goyver elam nechasim b'nechar." He said, "Just the opposite. I hold midai raisa. You can never be goyver for nechasim mishubadim. My time. What's the reason shibud alav day raisa? So if somebody owes you money, collect it from him. If he doesn't have anything, so kasam yinolon. It is what it is. At the time of the loan, he had a piece of property and he since sold it. Okay, madahava hava. What does that have to do with you? Now, if there's something called shibud, oh, you have a lien in it. You have a pesakinyan in it. So then we would understand it. But shibud is lav deiraisa. And if that's the case, you should never be able to be goyva from the chasam mishubadim, even if it's a milva b'shtar. Matam amam milva b'shtar goyva from the chasam mishubadim. So why Chazal said that if it's a milva b'shtar, you could be goyva from the chasam mishubadim? Kadesh leitinol delis bifnei lovin. The reason is because we were afraid that people would never lend any money. Because if you're going to lend somebody money and then it's going to come time to pay up, the guy's not going to have anything. And there's no such concept as a lien, so how you ever going to get paid? So to protect the world of loans, shloitinol delis bifnei lovin. We'll see more about that in the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin. But shloitinol delis bifnei lovin, Chazal said that there has to be a concept of a shibud, and that's why they said milva b'shtar, you go to minachas b'shabbat. But the Gemara says, "Yochei b'azay, if you're worried about shloitinol delis bifnei lovin, so why are you only worried by milva b'shtar, milva al pen nami?" The halacha should be that you go from the chasam mishabad. The word says chasam less they call it. It's true by a milva al peh you should be worried like tinol dalos bifnei lavin, but we're also worried about pseida de lekuchos. And being that the lekuchos are going to end up losing out, so the pseida de lekuchos trumps the shloit tinol dalos bifnei lavin. Meaning, sometimes you have to do a cost-benefit analysis. So it's true there's a svar of shloit tinol dalos bifnei lavin, but at the same time we can't do it on the cheshbin of the lekuchos. So if it's a milva b'shtar where it's like kala the lekuchos knew about it, shloit tinol dalos bifnei lavin, we're going to impose a concept of a shibud. But by a milva al peh, where the lekuchos had no way of knowing, they're going to end up losing. So there we can't do it. Bottom line is the halacha is milva b'shtar, you go to minachasim shabbatim. That's the halacha. No one debates the halacha. The halacha is what it is. No shayla. It's a mishnah. It's the last mishnah of a basra. The shayla that I'm wrong, we're discussing is how did we get there? Did you come from north or did you come from the south? Right, that's the shayla over here. And really the crux of the question is, midairaisa, is there something called shibud? Meaning on a dairaisa level, before the rabbanim got involved, if somebody lends somebody money, could you collect from the nechasim mishubadim because the person's assets that he had at the time of the loan are mishubad or not? That was the shayla. Ula held shibud dairaisa. Rabba held shibud dairabanan. Ula held shibuda de raisa, therefore Ula held that midday raisa, sign milva b'shtar, sign milva b'al peh. You should be able to go from the chasam mishabad. The only reason milva b'al peh you can is mishum seidat al kuches. Rabbi held midday raisa that shibuda is lav day raisa, and if that's the case on the day raisa love, you should never be able to go from the chasam mishabad, even milva b'shtar. The only reason milva b'shtar, yeah, is shloitino dalus bifnei lavin. So again, Rabbi shita is that shibudas lav doy raisa. Segway. Mi omar rabba hachi, did rabba really say that shibudas lav doy raisa? Va omar rabba, rabba said, gavu karka yeshloi, gavu mois, ein loi. So if this one line sounds familiar, it's because this was a major sugya in Berak Yesh Leichlin. The context over there was where a man died, and this man had outstanding money that was owed to him. And then the Yarshim, the Yosoimim, the sons of this man that died, collected that money. The question is, the Bechar, does he get Pishnayim of that money or not? We know that Allah is, Bechar is Enoi Noitel B'roi Kebemuchzik. So Bechar gets Pishnayim, but only from assets that the father had at the time that he died. But if it was Roy, then he does it. And the question is, this money that now came in because the father who died had been a malva, is that money considered roi diga money? Then the Bechar wouldn't get pishnayim, or is it considered muchzik? He would get pishnayim. So Rabbi said it depends on what was collected. Gavu karka, if they collected karka yeshlo, he gets pishnayim. Gavu mois, engloi. And the Gemara over there in Perek Yesh Noichel explains, Shitas Rabbi, it's because in the event that he was gavu karka, being that there's a lien on karka, Shibuta Dairaisa. So we look at it as if the father, who was the Malva, already had a kinyan in it. Because that's how Shibut works. So if he had a kinyan in it already, it's not Roy, it's Mochzik. And that's why the Bechar is going to get Pishat. But the Gemara says, that's all good if you hold Shibut as Dairaisa. But if you hold that Shibut as the Rabbanon, that means me Dairaisa, the father didn't have it. And if that's the case, it should be Roy. It shouldn't be Mochzik. So Freik, the Gemara, me, Rabbi Hochi, that what Shibut is Lav Dairaisa. Vama, Rabbi said in Perikation, Oichon Gavu Karka, Yeshloi. So the Gemara says, Vachite, me Epoch. The Rabbi Ula, okay, maybe there's a good Eitz over here. Maybe we'll do an Epoch. We'll do a flipperoo. We'll switch Rabbi to Ula and Ula to Rabbi. So Ula is going to be the one on settle Shibuda Labdei Raisa. And Rabbi Lishitasa, Gabu Karka Yeshla, is going to hold that what? That Shibuda is really Dei Raisa. But the Gemara says it can't be. You know why? Because then you're going to stub your toe again because there's another Ula that we have in this Sugya. Amar Ula, Ula said, Dvar Toira Midei Raisa, Balchoiv Dine Beziburis. Midei Raisa. That's the key word here. Midai Raisa, Dvar Torah. If it didn't say Dvar Torah, we have no kasha. But it says Dvar Torah, Midai Raisa, Baal Chayv, a Malva that collects from the Lukuchais, Dine Beziburis. Meaning, we know Baal Chayv is Dine Bebeininis. And Ula said that's only Midai Rabbanan. Because Dvar Torah, when a Baal Chayv collects from the Lukuchais, he collects Beziburis. Baal Chayv can collect from the Lukuchais Dvar Torah? Oh, yeah, it's Ula Shitasai. Because Ula is the one who starts us off here in the last sugya of Bava Basra, who tells us Shibuda Dairaisa. But if you're going to make an epic, you're going to tell me that Ula really holds Shibuda Dairaisa because he had no choice of being epic to make Rabba work. You're going to have a steer in Ula, Simamon of Shach. Either you have a steer in Rabba or you have a steer in Ula. So we'll do epochs all day long. Kiyodua, right? We even had the sugya not long ago, Misha Meis, where there were like four epochs in the same Gemara. Right? The Gemara will do epochs sometime, but only if it's going to help you. So you're going to make an epoch to make Rabbish Dim. Where you're going to end up with a steer in Ula, that doesn't really make so much sense. So the Gemara says you have to say no epoch. Ah, you have a steer in Rabba, because our Rabba holds that what? That Shibud Lav Dairaisa, yet Rabba holds in Yesh Neuchlin. Seemingly that Shibuda is Dairaisa. Rabba Tami the Bnei Marava. Come Avalei Lo Sfirli. That Rabba over there was coming to explain something that the Bnei Marava had said. So the Bnei Marava had said what they said. Rabba was coming to explain it. And the way Rabba explained the Bnei Marava, the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, was by saying that they hold Shibuda Dairaisa. But you want to know what Rabba himself holds? Rabba holds that Shibuda is Lav Dairaisa. And we are going to stop here mid Sugya. Either way. Just to end with a little bit of raid and go back to part two of what we spoke about on Daf Kuf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, which was very much a digression. And it was the topic of the name Moshe. So the Gemara had told a story about a Yid whose name was Moshe Bar Atzri. This Moshe Bar Atzri was a Gvir. He had a son whose name was Rav Huna, who was a very chashuv younger man. Moshe Bar Atzri was not supporting his son, Rav Huna, the very chashuv younger man. It was tchikale milsa. It was very, very difficult for him. And it bothered the great Abaya that there's a younger man that's struggling so badly. So he was trying to come up with an etzah. How could I help the plight of this Surba Mirabanan? And he had an idea. He knew that Rav Huna, this Surba Mirabanan, had given his wife a nice ksuba. He also knew that Rav Huna's father, Moshe Bar Atzri, had co-signed the ksuba. So his idea was, let Rav Huna the Tzumra Rabbanan give a get to his wife. She's going to have a tfiyah now on the ksuba. Hanush kan geld. He's not going to be able to pay it. Thus, the Arev is going to be responsible. The Arev, Moshe Bar Atzri, this gvir, no skin off his back, is going to write a check. He's going to be able to pay for the ksuba. Rav Huna the Tzumra Rabbanan is going to remarry his wife. And they'll be happily married with money. Sounds like a great idea. And Abaya felt that even though this is a little bit greasy, it's not maybe the finest thing that a person can do, but at the same time, Bnoi Shani, Vitzurban Mirabonon Shani, the Adraman says it was Bnoi and Surban Mirabonon, and based on that, he felt this was an okay thing to do. Either way, Abaya tried implementing his plan, and then he's in shul one morning, and he hears they call up Rav Huna, this Surban Mirabonon, for Kayin, and he says, it's not going to work, because if he's a Kayin and he divorces his wife, he won't be able to remarry her, because a Kayin can't marry a Grusha, he can't even be married. His own grusha. So either way, this was the Gishmak story that the Gemara told over here in Ksubas, in Bava Basra, Daf Kufay and Dalad Amaves. It was very negay Ksuba because a big part of the Gemara's discussion is you see that there's a concept of Arvus even when it relates to Ksuba. But the bottom line is the Gemara mentions this yid by the name of Moshe Bar Atzri. So we said over from the Chida in Shema Gedolim, and this is in Mareches Gedolim. It's Sif Kuth Yud. It's under the Erech Rav Moshe Goyen, where he brings a Dovernif. He says, Matzasi Kasu Besefik Savya. Loihoya Shum Tana, Oya Moira, Shenikra Moshe, Vahupela Visoid. And then the Chidah says, V'hayru da Amri Inshi. I think this is what people meant when they said, Ala Rambam, regarding the Rambam, Mi Moshe Vad Moshe, Loikom Ke Moshe. There was no one who was named Moshe that was greater than the Rambam from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, Shaloi Hoyatana Oya Moira Shenikra Moshe. So the Chidah said that I found written in a Ksav Yad somewhere that there was not one Tana and there was not one Moira who had the name of Moshe Vuhupele Visoid. So we were Moira that. What do you mean? You have a Mefurish Gemara. You have a Yid whose name was Moshe Baratzri. And this Gemara, by the way, is mentioned in a second place in Shas. It's also in Erech and Dav Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, but it's the same exact Gemara. So he's mentioned once, just the Gemara itself is mentioned twice. But the bottom line is, this was the Ha'ara. Again, he wasn't a Tana, he wasn't an Amiris, that's not Mamisha Ha'ara. But the bottom line is, it's an answer to a trivia question. There's one person in Shas who has the name Moshe, and it's this Yid right here, whose name is Moshe Baratzri. So we talked about the fact that the Chidah says that the name Moshe is a Pella and a Soid. We said over in the name of the Tzroir Hamar, where the Tzroir Hamar in Parsha Shemois talks about the name Moshe, he says, Kizeh Hashem Shal Moshe Hu Pella, Vu Me'imkei HaTorah, Ki Moshe Oilo Kamei Hashem Behippach Osius. Right, Moshe and Hashem are the same Osius. One goes forward, the other one goes the other way. And then he says, Moshe is the Rosh HaTevis Matat Sar HaGadol. It's also Rosh HaTevis Mimchoim Shiftoi Hishkiach, which is a remez to Tchilas HaOilom. And he says different Ramazim, but again, the same words as the Chidah, which is that the Shem of Moshe is a Pella, Vahu Me'imke Atayr. And then he goes on to say that Basu was the one who gave Moshe this name, and the reason Basu was able to give this name is because Rosso Shivcha Bayom Mashaloi Roy Yecheskel Bambuzi Me'oilom, pun intended, that this Basu Bas Parei at the Yam was able to see something, and she knew to give the name Moshe, a name that even Amram and Yecheve didn't know to give. So what was the name that Amram and Yecheve gave? So we spoke out from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Yekasil, maybe it was Toiv or Toivya, all the different names of Moshe, seven names, the Gemara Megillah Yud-Gimel Amud Aleph, and you have the Medrash in the beginning of Vayikra that talks about the 10 names. That was all the raid that we spoke about then. But it all started with this Yid whose name is Moshe Baratzri, and the Tzushtal to this Chidon, the Shem Magdoy, the Matzasi, Kasa, the Sefik Savyat, Loyoyoshum Tana, Oya Moira, Shenikra, Moshe, Vupela, Vesai. And then we ended with a question, and that is that if no one gave the name Moshe, then how did Moshe become arguably the most popular Jewish name? Like, when did that shift? So if there was some Kpeda, because the name Moshe is a Pella and a Soid, so where did that flip? And then Inyan, we also talked about the name Maharan, mentioned one time in Masechtas Bava Kamma, and different names like Avram you don't find amongst any of the Tanakh, certainly not in Tanakh. So this whole schmooze is all related to each other, and it's fascinating. Effie Sinowitz, this morning, shared with me a Marumakim Nifla, pun intended, if you know, you know. But Effie showed me a Marumakim Nifla, and that is, so all familiar with the Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Now, the Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, which is legendary, the Tshuva from the Rabbi Yehuda, the Tshuva from the Divrei Chaim, the Tshuva from the Halakha Chassam Sofer, did he mean everybody? Did he mean only his children? But the Tzava is very, very well known, and one of the themes of the Tzava is names. It's interesting that if you have the Mosad Rav Kook version of the Sefer Chassidim, so there's a little insert after the Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. It's called Asarois Noisafois B'Ksav Yad L'Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. So I'll read to you Rabbi Reuven Margolis, who of course wrote the Hagois on the Mosad Rav Kook Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, just his little insert here, just to have a little bit of the historical background, and that is Miksav Yad Minkin. So these Asarois Noisafois comes from the Minkin Ksav Yad. So if you're familiar with the Sefer Diktukei Soifrim, so that's related to the Ksav Yad Minkin. That's a whole shmooze. It was written by Yid Rabbi Fulm, not the Rabinowitz, where he went and he worked very, very meticulously on coming up with the perfect Gersois on all the different Gemaras. So for example, if you have an Oiz V'Hadda Gemara, they're changing Gersois a lot on the side, right? The Bach has his inserts, and the Goyen, of course, has that Goyen Sagra, and different Masechtes, you have Rabbi Tzalmi Ranchberg, but Oiz V'Hadda, took it to the next level. And there's a lot of Hagos Fitzionim that you'll find on the side of the Gemara. Many, many, many of them, if not most of them, comes from the Dukei Seifrim. So this Yid put a lot of work in finding different manuscripts, different Kisviyat. His Ikar Avoida was on the Talmud Bavli, but he worked on other things as well. So one of the things he worked on was the Sefer Chassidim. And he found Azoris Noisophis. These were Hoysophis that the mainstream Tzavab Rav Yehuda Chassid somehow lost. But this was like an addendum to it. Either way, in these Hoysophis, there's another 15 things that are mentioned that are not in the original Tzava. So the original Tzava has Nun Vav items, right? It doesn't only say that a Shver and an Edom and a Shviger and a Shneer can't have the same name. There's many other things. It goes up to Sif Nun Vav. In the Azareis Noisafa is this 15. Listen to number 2. V'che, this is the middle. Lo Yikru Shem Banav. He says you should not name your sons Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, V'loi Moshe. Fascinating. So in the Tzavah, Rabbi Yehuda Chassin, this is in Nazaris Noisafos, he puts it out there, don't give the name Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe. And then he says things about these names. He's Ayin Shom. But he says there's a sakana if you're going to go ahead and you're going to give names like this. So in Reuben Margolis's Hagos on these Azaris Noisafos, Makar Chesed. So he has a long, long Haggah. It's 2 pages long. 2 pages of Rabbi Margolis is like 3 maduras of Svarim for other Mechabrim, right? It's Marimokim after Marimokim after Marimokim where he gets involved in the history of the name Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Now, he starts where? With the Shem Magdalim, of course. He starts with the Chidah by Avram. He throws in the Chidah by Moshe. He gives a shout out to Moshe Bar Atzri of our Sugya. It's very, very long. And there's a lot happening over here. Just to get a little bit of a time, I'll read the last paragraph. He's talking about the names of the Shvatim. And he wonders out loud, why is it that the names of the Shiftei Ka, so this is Dover Be'itei Matoiv in terms of the Parshiyas HaShavua, why is it that the names of the Shvatim somehow you don't find very often? So listen to the way he breaks it down. He says like this, Matzino B'Tanach, as it relates to Tanach, the only names that you find are Shimon. Where do you find the name Shimon in Tanakh? In Ezra, Perek, Yud, Pasuk, Lamed, Aleph. The Yehuda, you find the name Yehuda. Ezra, Perek, Yud, Pasuk, Chav, Gimel. Nechemya, Perek, Yud, Aleph, Pasuk, Yud, Tes. Nechemya, Perek, Yud, Beis, Pasuk, Ches, and Pasuk, Lamed, Vav. Ubechazal, Niskeru, Reb Ruvain. He was a Tana who's quoted in the Tosefta, Mesech, Teshuvos, Perek, Gimel. There's a Yid whose name was Reb Ruvain Astrubli. He was an Askin, not a Tana. He's mentioned above a Kama, Pei Gimel Amid Aleph, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Mitzuyim, Bechazal. He says those three names, for some reason, you find a lot of Shimons, a lot of Levis, and a lot of Yehudas. Yisachar, the name Yisachar, Matzinu, Shem Koyin Gadol. His name was Yisachar, Ish Kfar Bar Koy, and he's mentioned in Mesechtes Psachim, Daf Nun Zayin Amid Aleph. And then you have another Yisachar, his name is Yisachar, the Kfar Mindi, who's mentioned in the Yerushalmi, Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah, Perek Aleph, Oy. He's mentioned in other places in Yerushalmi as well. Zvulun v'don, you find one place. Matzinu yachad ka'avu ben. There was a father and son, Zvulun and Don. Kedushin daflam and amir aleph. Naftali, the name Naftali, nikra rak amoyra echad. You find one amoyra, bizman Ramona. He lived in the time of Ramona. He's quoted in the Yerushalmi in Mesechtes Tainis, Reish Perik Dalet, in the beginning of the fourth Perik. Additionally, there's another shout out to the name Naftali. You find a Rabbi Yitzchak bar Naftali. So it's Reb Yitzchak, who's the son of Naftali, and he's mentioned in Bavli, Ksubis, Tzadik, Vav, Amin, Aleph. Gam, Motzinu, Ach, Rav Goda. What about God? So he says, you find Rav Goda, who was Shamid Rav Sheshes. He was Rav Sheshes' Gabbai. Sheshes, we know, was a Saginar, and he was Rav Sheshes' Gabbai. And he's mentioned in Erevin, Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis. Additionally, there's a Rav Menashe Bar Gadya, who might be also God. Sukkah Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. Asher, Loi Matzasi Kla. I never found one person anywhere whose name is Asher. V'ach, Yoisnef, Ubinyamim Mitzuyen Hein. Either way. So he says that, this is Mamish one excerpt. I just felt you have to get a little bit of a Toyam now, right? I mean, we're used to this in the Chabura, but this is Rav Ruvim Margolis 101. So he fears ice like this. Hadrinon le'inyonim. He says, let me tell you my heritage. Shnetziva Rabbeinu Lazaroi, that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid told his children, Shlo Yikru b'shmois Avram Yitzchak Yaakov v'Moshe. Kemidas chachmei haTalmid aleihem hashalom. Follow in the ways of the Talmud. He says it has to be. You see, from the Talmud, they didn't give these names. And Rabbi Yehuda Achasa was telling his children, also not to. By the way, when he says his children, you see, he's being machriya. This is the big hakira from the Divrei Chaim and the Noida Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer. But the truth is, I didn't go through this carefully enough. I just saw this morning. But if you look at the beginning of Ois Beis, he says, Ish mizaroi enum regilim likroi. I think this Sifkotan specifically, for sure, he was only talking about his children again. We have to look at this a little bit better. But he says, does Rabbi Yehuda Chosnid, that my mishpacha, no one should give the names Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe. Kemidas chachmi atamar aleihem hashalom. Achre, and the reason is sheidu chachmi doyrish al Rabbeinu. He says, because if you would look at the testimony of the chachmi doyri of Rabbeinu, sheilu hoya bedoyram, hoya ke'echon mehem. He said, Rabbi Yehuda Chosnid was so big that the chachmi doyri, his contemporary said that had he lived in the times of the Tanam and Amayram, he would have been as great as them. He says, Rei lemayla betoldasai. Read my toldas that I wrote about Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, and you'll see, I mentioned this over there. Therefore, Elu shahayim makoim lahashvois oisam be'eza erech la'avaysa oilam nizru bezebe yosa. So he said, I hold in the Friyadi Gedoyers, where people were on a very, very high level. So they didn't want to mention these holy names. You know why? They were afraid that there would be some feeling of, oh, you're naming your son Moshe? Oh, Shoin, you think he's Moshe Rabbeinu. You're naming your kid Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov? Oh, in your mind, Kielu, they're obvious. And once upon a time, because you didn't want such high madrigas, and you had such tzaddikim, there were Nevi'im all over the place, right? You fly him, Kiyoitz, and Mitzrayim. So if that's the case, there was Azach HaShash, that maybe people might confuse something like that. And Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, even in his tzaitin, because of the madreg of his mishpacha, he said, by unser mishpacha, we're going to prave as if we're like the rishonim that were kemalochim, and we're not going to name these names either. But he says, nowadays, where there's such a yiridus hadoyres, where we can't come to the fingernail of the gedolim from the free of the gedolim, he says, now already, there's no chashash that anyone's going to think that someone with these names now has any shaykhis to one of the people from the free of the gedolim, and fakert, now it's a nice thing. Now there's an inyan, and this is the way he fears us, to be mekayim, birchas yisrael saba. I always say this, Rabbi Margolis says, his poetry is beautiful. V'yikuyim banu birchas Yisrael saba, v'yikorei bohem shemi v'shem avoysai Avram v'yitzchak, v'yidgul aray v'kerev aretz. Adarabba, let's be Mekayim, what the Zayde Yaakov Avinu wanted. But in the Friyad Gedoyres, they didn't want to, because they thought that Ki'ilu, you're going to argue, you're going to be mashva. But now the such Yeridus HaDeiris, we've fallen so far achiranas from where it was once upon a time, that Adarabba, v'yikuyim banu brichas Yisrael saba, v'yikarivam shemi v'shem avoysai, v'yidgul aray b'kerev aretz. Either way, this is Rabbi Reuven Margolis's fleeting theory that he throws in at the end of footnote Gimel on the Azorois Noisophos that was found in the Ksav Yad Minkin, related to the Tzava of Rabbi Huda Achaz. But I just want to end with Mamash at the end of the Masechta. And Me'inyan Le'inyan, I just want to end with one last Ta'ara related to this. And that is the name Moshe. So the Chida already said. And we saw from the Tzrei Amar that the name Moshe has in it Dvarim Nistarim. It's a Shpele, it's a Soid. There's something going on here in this name. So I just want to bring out one more Nakuda as it relates to the Soid of the name Moshe. And this comes from the Torah, it comes from the Beis Medrash of the Helag Yichsam Sofer. And really, it begins with a Gemara that we learned together not so long ago, in Perek Yesh Noichlan, Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis. So this Gemara we learned together really not so long ago, 7.5 years ago. But we went through the story then of the Pesel Micha. Right? So there was a man named Micha, and he built a Pesel, and he meets this traveler whose name is Yehoinason ben Gershon ben Menashe. This person is a Levi, and he was very excited, and he hires him to attend to this Pesel, the Pesel Micha, the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara said in Yesh Noichlan Kuf Tes Amid Beis that really this Yehoinason ben Gershon ben Moshe ben Asher was really Yehoinason ben Gershon ben Moshe. Why then was he referred to as Menashe? Because this person was Oved Avodah Zarah, and we know Menashe was Maimit Tzelem Behechel, right? And he was involved in a Tzelem in the Pesel Micha. So it's for that reason Tolei Akosa ben Menashe Mitoich Sheosa Maisa Menashe. Therefore Tolei Akosa ben Menashe. But really, you want to know who this kid was? It was none other than Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. It's a Pella. And he's this Kayan, he's this person that's serving, and he's attending to this Avodah Zarah. So this person, Yohanes and Ben Gershon Ben Menashe, is really Yohanes and Ben Gershon Ben Moshe. So why are we calling him Menashe? The reason we're calling him Menashe is because he was Asa Maisa Menashe. He was involved in Avodah Zarah. But really he's Ben Moshe. And the Chasam Sofer in two places. In one of his Zayin Adad Rashes, and it's in the first piece, in Teres Moshe, in Parshas Tetzaveh, he says, to me, the end of the day, his name is Moshe, it's not Menashe. You're making from Moshe Menashe. And he says, not just that, it bothers me even more because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do anything. It's this Yohanesen that did it. So if you want to be Toiva Menashe, throw it into the kid's name. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do to deserve to somehow have a remez in his name to go from Moshe to Menashe? So the Chasam Sofer says like this. He says that we know that there's one parsha in the Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. It's Parshas Tetzaveh. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh? Because after the Chet Ha'egel, when Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading and he was begging with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't destroy Klal Yisrael, he says, if you're not going to, I'm happy, wipe me out of your Sefer Torah. I don't want to be in the Torah. V'kachavad. One parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is taken out. So the Chasam Sofer asks, and this is so Chasam Sofer, this is Ptuchei Chosim, Ben Benoish of Ptuchei Chosim. He says, I don't understand. It sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take me out of your Sefer Torah. He says, if you ask me, I would think that what Moshe Rabbeinu did, when he said, Machenina, this was the greatest thing you could have possibly done. What's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Moshe Rabbeinu is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm willing to put everything on the line. I'm happy for you to literally forget about me. Ich bin agarnish. Just what? Just go ahead and rat to the Klal Yisrael. So if that's the case, how is it possible, says the Chasam Sofer, that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for what he said? Adarabba, this is the greatest act of Mesiris Nefesh. Right, why is it so Petuchei Chosin? This is the Chasam Sofer by Aharon HaKohen that says that when Aharon HaKohen was involved in the Chet Ha'egel, it was the greatest act of Mesiris Nefesh ever. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu meant when he told Aharon HaKohen, he says, Ki lokach nefcharto, it's tavke because of this. Because of your tremendous act of Mesiris Nefesh that you were willing to play a role in the Chet Ha'egel to save Klal Yisrael. Right, Mesiris Nefesh is not just giving up your guf. If you're willing to give up your nefesh, your neshama, you're willing to be an oimit, that's Chasam Sofer. That's what it means to be a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, right? That's what Ptuchei Chosim is. But the point is, said the Heilige Chasam Sofer, that to me, I would think fakert. I would think that what Moshe Rabbeinu did was not shah. It's not the Chasam Sofer, the kash is so strong, you have to say it's true. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, your name's not going to be in Parshas Tetzav, it wasn't an oinish. It was a reward. It was a schar. And he says, you know why? He says, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want his name mentioned anywhere in the Torah. He says, why would Moshe Rabbeinu not want his name mentioned in the Torah? He says, because I'm going to tell you a klal in Avodas Hashem. The klal in Avodas Hashem is that hanelam v'hanistar hu la'olam yoisem mekudesh mehanigla. He says, the pnimius is always more kaddish than the chitzonius. Another time he says it. Ulaharos ke apnimius yoisem chosho mehanigla b'Torah. Even in Torah. Pnimius ha-Torah is more Kodosh, so to speak, than the Chitzonius of Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was Kulay Pnimius. Kulay Pnimius means that he wants to be in the Torah, but he wants to be in the Pnimius of the Torah. He doesn't want to be in the Chitzonius of the Torah. So it's better to be in the Pnimius of the Torah as opposed to being... So if you, when you open up a Sefer Torah, you could read Moshe. Yeah, so you're seeing the word Moshe. But recognize, when you see the word Moshe, that's Chitzonius. Because that's what you're able to read. But in Pnimius, there's a whole nother world. People that have Oygin, that can see Pnimius, can access and tap into that world. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be in the Sefer Torah. Of course he wanted to be in the Sefer Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that he should be Merumas in the Torah. He should be in the Pnimius of the Torah. What he didn't want was to be in the Chitzonius of the Torah. I don't want Moshe Echtaf. I don't need all the Askaris of Moshe. Give me better Pnimius. Chasam Sofer says something so nifludic. The Gemara says in Masech Tzchun, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Amid Beis, Moshe min HaTorah Minayin. What's the remez to Moshe in the Torah? It says in Parshas Bereishis, B'shegam hu basar, and B'shegam is B'gematria Moshe. Homer min HaTorah Minayin. It says, Hamin ho'eitz, Hashetzi v'yisicho levilti achol mimenu achalta, Este min HaTorah Minayin. The Pasuk says, V'noichi haster aster pane b'yoy mahu. Mordechai min HaTorah Minayin. The pasuk says murderer, umetargeminan meira dachya. Said the Chasam Sofer, the Gemara over here mentions four people. We mention Moshe, we mention Haman, we mention Esther, and we mention Mordechai. He says in order of greatness, Moshe, of course, is the greatest. Like, come, Navi, be Israel, come Moshe. Mordechai would be number two. Esther would be number three. And Haman would be number four. Says the Chasam Sofer, Moshe min HaTorah minayin b'shegam. Doesn't say Moshe, it says b'shegam. B'shegam is the gematria of Moshe. Thus, there's a remez to Moshe. Mordechai min HaTorah minayin. It says murderer. Doesn't say Mordechai. The targum of murderer is Meredah. Now, it's more than just the gematria. It's the targum of the word. But it's only the targum of the word. It's not Mefurish. Esther, who's the next level, min HaTorah minayin, it says, V'anoichi Haster Aster. It kemat says her name. Haster Aster. And oh, by the way, the Chasam Sofer says it. The Gemara says in Megillah, what was Esther's real name? It was Adasa. Esther, she was called for different reasons. But the bottom line is, her name was really Adasa. Abahamim min HaTorah minayin, Hamin Ha'etz. It says the word Haman. He says, because the more Kodesh you are, the more B'pnimius you are. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who was on the highest level of Kedusha, it's Kulay P'nimius. Moshe min HaTorah minayin, B'shegam. It's Begamatria Moshe. Mordechai, who's a little bit of a lesser madregam in HaTorah Minayin, it says murderer, umetargaminon, meiradachya. It's the targum of the word. It's not just the gematria, it's the targum. That's much more. Oh, but it's only in the targum of the word. Estim in HaTorah Minayin, it says haster aster. Almost. And it's not even a real name. Haman, it says Bokzener. Hamin ha'eit. It says mefurish. That's the Haman HaTorah Minayin. He said, because the more Kaddish you are, the more you are B'pnimius. Right, this is, of course, reminiscent of the Katz Gevart that we've mentioned so many times. B'fi Yisharim Tisroimam, U'v'sif Tzei Tzadikim Tisbarach, U'v'l'shoin Chasidim Tiskadash, U'v'kerev Kedoshim Tisawal. And the Katz Gevart said that there's four Madregas in Avodas Hashem. There's a Yasha, there's a Tzadik, there's a Chosnin, and there's a Kaddish. The Yasha is on the lowest Madrega, and the Kaddish is on the highest Madrega. And the higher the Madrega you are, so the more B'pnimius your Avodas. This is all Nosach Sfarad. So the Yasha is on the lowest Madrega, it's b'fi yisharim. He's going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his whole mouth. As it relates to the tzaddik, it's b'sifzei tzaddikim. It's not his whole mouth, it's the sfasayim. The chassid is on a higher Madrega, it's more b'pnimius. It's not even his lip. You don't see his lips moving. It's b'lshoin. Oh, but the kadosh, it's b'kerev kadoshim tesalo. Because the more b'pnimius, the more kadosh. B'kerev kadoshim tesalo. So Moshe Rabbeinu was on the highest level of Kedusha. So this is how it plays itself out. It says, the Heilige Chasam Sofer, that of course Moshe Rabbeinu wanted his name in the Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be merumas in the Torah. He didn't want that it should be bechitzonius. Oh, but at the end of the day, even though that's what he wanted, he wasn't zeichato. And you know why? The Chasam Sofer says, Shedayo liyos kirabo yisparach shamay. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is mentioned in the Torah. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is mentioned in the chitzonius of the Torah, how could Moshe Rabbeinu be greater? Dayo lovo min adin liyos kinodin. Ekenesh zayin gresa. Oh, but when Moshe Rabbeinu said, when he went ahead and he said those words, Moshe Rabbeinu showed the ultimate Mesiris Nefesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to reward you. And you know what the reward is going to be? The reward is going to be, there's going to be one parasha that your name is not going to be mentioned. Not mentioned Benigla, but it's going to be mentioned B'Pnimius. So where B'Pnimius isn't mentioned? So the Chasam Sofer says, if you have P'nimius to Ge'oigen, you can go through Parshas Tetzava and you're going to be able to find all the Kufal, Psokim, right? There's different Ramazim. We've spoken about some of them in the past. And the Chasam Sofer goes in this drasha and he mentions different Ramazim to Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm just going to mention one. And that is, he quotes from the Yalkut Ruveni. Right in the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, who quotes from the Heilige Megala Amukos, that the Megala Amukos said that the last word in Parshas Truma is Mechoshes. It's the last word. The first word in Parshas Tetzaveh is Va'ata. So the Megala Amukos said, Va'ata Tetzaveh, Somach el Mechoshes, Shesayim ba Parshas Shalofonov. The Remez boy, there's a Remez over here. You know what the Remez is? Shehoye Moshe Nitzutz Shlishi Min Hevel. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Nitzutz Shlishi from Hevel. He was a Nitzutz of Hevel, but he was already the third Nitzutz. Who were the first two? Shais was the first. Noach was the second. And Moshe was the third. Vizehu said the Megala Amukos. Nechoshes va'ata. Kaloimar, Nechoshes is Noach. Sheis. So Hevel is Nisgalgal three times. You know what the three times is? Nechoshes, that's Noyach Sheis. Va'ata, new Moshe, is three. And these are the Inyan, this is the Gilgulim of Hevel. Now the emes is, the Chassam Sofer brings, and I saw Rav Moshe Shlomiok in his Oitzvah Chassam Sofer, comes already from the Arizal, that the Riyah Kudosh said, this Inyan, that Hevel, who was killed by Kayin, was Nisgalgal three times. Sheis, Noach and Moshe, but the Chassam Sofer says this is another remez right here. This is another remez right here to the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nechoshes v'ata. So the Chassam Sofer says like this. It's you do in the Svarim HaKadoshim that this Gilgal, this Inyan, is already merumas in the name Moshe. Because Moshe itself is Rosh HaTevis, Moshe, Sheis, Hevel. We said Matat Sarah Godom, Mimchem Shiftach Hishkiach. But really, Moshe itself is Moshe, Sheis, Hevel. Freitach Sam Sofer, what happened to Noach? It's supposed to be Noach too, right? What happened to Noach? So the Sam Sofer says like this. He says, Sheis lived in the very, very beginning of time. He says that Hevel lived at the very beginning of time. They lived before the Dor of Enosh. Before there was even a generation of Avodah Zarah. Yesterday in Chumashir, we spoke out, L'shoyne Azov Shal HaRambam, right in the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah, that Bimei Enosh, the world made a terrible mistake, and that's when Avodah Zarah came into place. Hevel and Sheis lived before the Dor Enosh. They lived before there was something called Avodah Zarah. Noach already lived in a time of Avodah Zarah. And because Noach lived in a time of Avodah Zarah, so Noach's neshama, on some level, was meluchlich with the Indian of Avodah Zarah. And because it was meluchlich with the Indian of Avodah Zarah, so we didn't want to have Noach's name in Moshe Rabbeinu's name, because Moshe Rabbeinu, whose Avodah was to bring down the Torah, Ata Reisel Adas Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Einoid Milvadoi, and that there's no such thing as Avodah Zarah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who came to fulfill that Indian, so it's not befitting that Moshe Rabbeinu should even have a remez of the Shem Noach inside his name, because it's unfair. Because Noach is doch meluchlik with the head of Avodah Zarah. He says even further. The Chassam Sofer says that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was born, had to be put into a... Where was he put? 3 months his parents hid him. And then after 3 months, they made a teva. And they took the teva and they put it into the sof. Right, Rashi and Parshas Noach, he compares and contrasts between the teva of Noach and the teva of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he was put into it. Why was he put into a teva? Because he had to be mesakin. Right, if he's a gilgal of Noach, that means he has to be mesakin Noach. So if he was a gilgal of Noach, he had to be mesakin Noach. And part of the tikkun was that he too had to go into the Yam Suf. But when he came out of the Yam Suf, he says on some level, he was mesakin already the inyan of Noach. And says the Chassam Sofer, that's why he didn't need the Nun so much in his name, because he was mesakin it. And that's the oimik. Vatikra Shmoy Moshe, why? Because she schlepped him out of the water. He was in a teva. He was now pulled out of the teva. And if it's for that reason, he doesn't need the oimek anymore. The emes is that Rizal, Rav Shlomiok brings in the Hagoyis to the Oitzres, that Riyah Kudosh said that that's part of the oimek. That what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? He said, Vim ayin mecheni. He says, what did he mean, mecheni? Wipe me out. Mecheni said that Rizal is Rosh HaTevis main noyach. Because we know the Zohar Kodesh said that there was a taina noyach, that he didn't daven for the dar. And that's why the dar got wiped out, right? That's why it's only the Noach Matzachin. But there was a tain on him. And the reason there was a tain on him is because he didn't daven. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew he had to be Masakin Noach. So how's he Masakin Noach? He's going to daven. Now he's going to daven. He's putting everything out on the line. He says, I'm willing to give up everything. Mecheinina, right? Like Yehuda, who's Vichatosi L'chakol Hayomim, right? Everything. You could have everything and everything. He was willing to put everything on the line because he knew he had to be Masakin, the Sinyan of... He had to be Masakin, the Sinyan of Noach. And by the way, Noach was given 120 years to do this Inyan. And he didn't do it. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, who's Masakin Noach, lived for 120 years. Because you need 120 years to be Masakin what Noach didn't do during those 120 years. Oh, but the emes is, Moshe is really not just Moshe Sheis Hevel. It's really Moshe, Sheis, Noach in Hevel. And really, there should be a remez of Noach. The reason we have a remez of Noach is because right at the beginning, when Basi gives the name, he was Masakin a little bit Noach. But the real, real, real reason, because see, Moshe Rabbeinu's whole life had to be Masakin Noach. The real reason is because Noach has Avodah Zarah. And we don't want to take the Shem Avodah Zarah and attach it to the name Moshe Rabbeinu. Stating that, in Shoftim, by the Pesel Micha, when Moshe Rabbeinu had a grandson whose name was Yohainasan. And this Yohainasan was the son of Gershon, who was the son of Moshe. He went and he engaged in Avodah Zarah. It's there that the Pasuk refers to Moshe, not as Moshe. It refers to him as Menashe. Menashe, what shaykhis does Moshe Rabbeinu have? So the Gemara said, because he did Maisa Menashe. Says the Chassam Sofer, if you want to know the Panemius. The Panemius is because really on some level Moshe Rabbeinu's name was Menashe. Because Moshe is Moshe Sheis Hevel, but we're missing the Nun. And if you take the Nun and you insert it into Moshe, so it depends on where you put the Nun. But if you put the Nun between the Mem and the Shin, what you have is Menashe. It's not Stam a Mikra that we mention the name Menashe. It's because really Moshe Rabbeinu's name could have been Menashe. It's just because of a sensitivity. Noach has a Sheiches to the Dor of Avodah Zarah, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to be Oiker there. Why would we attribute the Nun? But in this Maisa, where Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson is being Nichshol in Avodah Zarah, here the Torah was Megalotas, this Inyan, that really there is a Nun. There's a Nun that has Epis HaShaychis to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is Rashi Tevis, Moshe Sheis Hevel. The part of the Soyd and the Pella, that is the name Moshe. The truth is that the Chassam Sofer says that Neshama is the same Moshe. It's Moshe Sheis Hevel and Noach, because that's the ultimate Neshama. The ultimate Neshama that came down to this world was the Neshama of Hevel. Hevel was Neskalgalin Sheis. That was Neskalgal in Noach. It would be Neskalgal later in Moshe Rabbeinu. It was the ultimate Neshama. But in that Neshama, Lik Menashe. And that's why there's one place in Sefer Shoftim where you find the Torah refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as Menashe. I mean, this is Dvarim Neskavim. The Shtiklich Torah can give you the chills. We're going to stop here. But again, this is just a little Toyameh, a little Pnimius. Like the Chassam Sofer said, that the Pnimius is Yosem Kudish from the Chitzonius. Just a little bit in terms of tapping in to the name Moshe.